COVID-19, but there are less than 10 of us, so we're safe on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And we're so glad you're with us. Welcome to Steve Brown, etc. I'm Steve, the aforementioned white guy.
Old white guy.
Yeah, let's not quibble.
We have to, because the old people are more susceptible.
Dangerous to be old. You know, if we wanted to deal with our problems, we could ship all old people away from our coast.
Yes.
And they would have trouble finding their way back. So, problem solved.
But you're safe, because I've sterilized everything in your office
really
and in the studio.
We say that, but that's true, man. Kathy has spent hours spraying funny stuff on the microphones and the tables and the chairs and the doorknobs and the electronic equipment. And we are less than 10, so the government has told us that we're safe. However, John Eldridge died. We just couldn't show.
He just had to cancel last minute. We'll get him back. Don't start rumors.
Well, you never know, man, with this virus thing going on and all the coughing and this stuff. It's a pretty scary time. Listen, sit back and relax. You'll feel better.
The voice of doom is here.
After this broadcast, guys, we have had so much fun talking about this. You know, I'm serious. Kathy really has sanitized everything. And I noticed that my pastor was supposed to be here and he didn't show, so I probably ought to call and make sure he didn't die. You don't know until you gotta check with people you love.
At least I didn't order
hazmat
suits.
Don't check with them if they're coughing or anything.
Yeah. Just at least I didn't order hazmat suits for all of you.
That's true. You know, this thing, I have gone back and forth. At the beginning, I thought, this is hogwash. This is a bunch of media people raising ratings and scaring you to death. And I just didn't put much into it. But I was watching the news conference yesterday and listening to all they were saying. You know, that was where the 10 or more you got to stay away from. Don't go to restaurants or bars. You know, don't touch people. Sanitize everything. And then I'm thinking, you know, this may be a little bit worse than I thought it was. And so all of a sudden I went into a panic mode. We were supposed to go out for dinner with some friends. And I called them and said, forget it. I ain't going out with you, man. We could die because of this dinner. And then Anna said, nonsense. We'll sit on the patio. So we went out and then drank sanitized stuff for the rest of the... But I've been thinking about it. I get up early, and so I've prayed about it. And God told me, so listen. No, it was indigestion, but it might be true. You never know. But I've decided this thing might be from God, not for judgment, but for blessing. As I said, or as Kathy said, John couldn't show, and we were looking forward to this interview. His book, which I'm holding in my nicotine-stained fingers, is Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad.
Timely.
And, yeah, yes. It really was. You would think that he had the gift of prophecy or something. And I've been thinking about that title and reading John's book, and I've decided this may not be a bad thing. You know, maybe we'll see what's important and what's not important. maybe we'll learn to spend time with people we ought to spend time with. I have a
in
dear.
In groups of 10 or less.
Yeah, but only in groups of 10 or less. When Kathy came, she asked Jinx, who is our producer. Jinx
hiding
and John are
booth.
Both hiding in the little, that's right, in the little glass booth with the door locked. So they're going to be safe. But Kathy asked Jinx how he was feeling. He said, fine, except for this cough and a little fever. Which, but back to what I was saying, I think this thing may be a really good thing. I have a pastor friend who's old like me, and he said, you know what I've decided? And I said, no. He said, I've decided to only spend time with people who will cry at my funeral. And I don't know if I buy that completely, but he made a good point about the things we do and the places we go and the hustle we're involved in and the social media and the panic we all feel. Maybe it'll take COVID-19 to bring us an attack of sanity. You know, it's not as if there's a statistic on death other than one out of one. I mean, it's going to happen to all of us. And I suspect that it's not going to happen to most of us because of the virus. It's probably get hit by a bakery truck on a street in Orlando and just say, Lord, that's not the way I wanted to go out. I wanted to go out in a blaze of glory so that my friends could say, come and look at a godly man dying. No, don't call my friends, man. It ain't going to be pretty. I just want you to know. But we're all going to die. And most of us don't think we are, but we are. So all of a sudden, there's an attack of sanity in a major way. And the first is that we recognize our own mortality, our fragility, if you will. How the world can roll over on top of somebody who was just sitting on top of it in a 24-hour period. That's not bad. That's good. Not only that, I've got friends who are praying for the first time in their lives. I've got an atheist friend who's praying. Can you believe that? That's not all bad. Maybe it reminds us that if there is no God behind all of this, then it's all meaningless. And listen, if there's no God, there's no value. And if there's no value, we're all turnips. And it doesn't make any difference anyway. So the second thing that makes it good is that we remember that there really is a God who really is in charge of this. And he doesn't have any perspiration on his upper lip. I mean, he knew about the COVID-19 thing before we were ever born. In fact, he knew about it before he hollowed out the valleys and created the mountains and hung the stars. And that's a good thing to remember when you're facing a pandemic. And then another thing, maybe we'll stay home for a change. You know, home is the place where you get a change of clothes, take a shower, and then go do something important. Let me tell you something. Home is the place where important things happen. That's where your children are and your family are. That's where love takes place. That's what God designed. And I don't care what they tell you. That's what God designed for us. To live in families. That social unit is the most important unit in our culture and in our nation, and we've forgotten sometimes. Maybe your kids who wonder what you look like because they haven't seen you in so long are going to get acquainted again. That would be a surprise, and that would be a good thing, too. Now, I don't want to do the Pollyanna thing, you know. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And I don't want to do the sky's falling and we're all going to die kind of thing. I'm not stupid. I sound it sometimes. As a matter of fact, this is not anything to sneeze at.
What?
Pun intended. This is serious. It really is. But it's not as serious as a lot of people are making it. You know why? Because there really is a God. And no matter what happens, he's in charge of this. And you can go to sleep and you can let him stay awake at night. Because God doesn't go by that 10-person rule. He visits bars and restaurants and homes and churches, even if they're not having worship services. He's online sometimes, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes he shows up for a program called Steve Brown, etc. And so...
You better hurry up.
Yeah, right. And so for the next hour, we're going to sit around. If it gets really bad, we'll sing hymns and have a prayer meeting. If it's working okay, we'll just talk about this virus.
When we get back, can we talk about the grocery store runs?
That's right. And I have some toilet paper that I have
selling
stocked.
It? $22 roll?
No, more than that. And it's at home, and I'm taking bids on our stock of toilet paper. Just wanted you to know that. Hey, don't go away, because you don't know what's going to happen, and frankly, we don't either. But it's called Steve Brown, etc., and we're so glad you're here.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
You're listening to Steve Brown, etc., and we're sitting around the table because our guests didn't show and just talking. We're not holding hands. We voted on that and decided that probably wasn't a good idea. But I talked about COVID-19 being a gift from God, maybe. Certainly not surprised. Certainly no perspiration on his upper lip. Matthew, you got a pile of kids. That's got to be kind of scary. And the only thing worse would be having 4 old people in your house.
Yeah, if COVID-19 is a gift from God, you may want to hang on to that receipt. You don't want to.
Yeah, right.
Some gifts get returned. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we've just been kind of holed up, and, you know, the wifey is always a, you know, proactive, you know, problem-solving thinker. So she stocked up on food and stuff, which, hey, more snacks are around. That's great. We've just been kind of hanging out.
Have you talked about it with your kids?
We have, and, you know, our worrier is... was worried, and so
that
just,
you.
That's right. Daddy, it's gonna be okay. No, we brought this judgment on ourselves. Where 10 or more are gathered, COVID-19 will be among them.
Well, if you add the cats with all the people in your house and everything else, you may be over 10.
The thing is, if we do run out of food,
hope they don't have a feline flu or something.
Oh yeah, cat scratch fever.
But seriously, there are questions from kids, aren't there? I mean, yeah. what do you say?
Well, they don't. You know, they don't know, they don't have any context for these kinds of things. And so, you know, the kind of catastrophist mindset is sometimes there. So, you know, they, and kids are like, you know, you talk about fake news, elementary school kids just jibber jabber. They make up their own stuff. But we just talk through and say, basically, you just have to make smart choices, and we're going to not go out for a little while, and we're just going to wash our hands more regularly and, you know, get rest and everything. And most importantly, we're going to ship them off to my parents for this whole spring break week. And then that's their problem. So that's ultimately our game plan. It's like we're just going to be at home just watching.
Yeah.
Watching Netflix.
And you tell them, you make them feel comfortable that it's going to be fine.
Yeah. I'm, you know, look, if it's not this, it's war or the economy or something else. It's like life is scary. And so it really is an opportunity, like you said, to be reminded of, like, there's way more that we are not in control of than what we are in control of. The problem isn't that you lost control in any particular situation. The problem is you ever thought you had control.
That's right. And this reminds us we don't.
It really is. It's humbling. And, you know, you look at the physical toll. I'm looking at, as an adult, the economic fallout still to come of what this is going to look like. And you really do. You have to go back to, like, you know what? God, this is in God's hands.
I can't fix it.
Yeah. And there's a big fat Sabbath on all of us, you know, to say we're just going to have to sit still and kind of think and pray through this.
Jinx, how about you? What are you doing in your household?
The same thing we always do. I mean,
You haven't changed anything?
I was surprised. Well, A, I'm surprised that washing hands is a new concept. B, I'm very surprised that I thought everybody kept 2 months worth of toilet paper at all times. I don't understand that rush on the stores. And I mean, we're a family that hardly ever has to go to the doctor, and we don't touch people we don't know, and B, we don't stand around people that are sneezing. So we're doing about the same thing.
Suffering from allergies,
and everybody thinks we're sick, so they stay away from us, and that works.
That's not a bad
deal.
Do you discuss it at home?
A little bit. Ask them how crazy school is, and of course, before it got really nuts, they went on spring break. So now we're just gonna, and we've talked a bit about what are we gonna have to do at the end of the year. They're gonna have to go extra weeks, or we don't know yet. So,
but
they're older. I mean,
I've got
got little adults running around, almost 14 and 16. Going on 40. So, I don't know. I can't do their thing.
But there's not a sense of panic.
None at all. But I don't know. We haven't had that. We're looking at it like, you know, it's like a hurricane, but we get to keep the air conditioning.
Exactly.
Oh, man, I've been there.
Going to the keg store after this.
You know, that was true of Andrew. You were talking about you were never in control. But after Andrew, when at least Kathy and I lost our houses and the whole world came to an end, it was a good thing spiritually to recognize, you know, I can't fix this. There's nothing in the world that I can do about it. I love your comment. I didn't know that washing your hands was a new concept. It's true, but I'm doing it more than I did
now,
before.
In the business industry, that's a little bit – I'm blessed to have a twofold business. I'll say that. The AV industry is just on pause. I mean, it's hurting a lot of people. A lot of techs are week-to-week pay. But on the flip side of that, come June, it's going to all – the floodgate's going to open because these people have already bought their marketing materials. They're going to have these conferences. But, I mean, you're talking about, except for the people that are going to just party at Vegas, all the conferences in Vegas are canceled.
Mm.
You've got the Orange County Convention Center and Gaylord Palms both sitting empty. Mm. It's weird. It's really weird on that side. The IT side is pretty busy because I'm getting everybody ready to work from home. We probably won't have to, but we're getting ready.
Yeah,
to.
Well, we're doing some of that here too. Hmm. Kathy, you're interesting because you're different than us. You can't. Well, you are anyway,
she makes
obviously.
The
but
away.
No, no.
Nice.
But she was in Maine when all this came down, and you are the only one of us who's been on an airplane in the midst of this. How was that?
Well, you know what's funny? When you live in Orlando, you have to have – it's really very amusing to watch people that are flying into Orlando and who get anywhere from mildly miffed to flat-out raging lunatic at crying babies and children and all that kind of stuff. You just want to say to them – It's Orlando, the entertainment capital of the world, and you're surprised. You know, like Jinx is saying, he's surprised that people are, you know, washing their hands. You're surprised that there are children on the flight. Well, it wasn't a nonstop. There was a layover in Baltimore, so we get on the plane in Baltimore, and it was a full size, you know, six seats across. There were 44 people on the plane.
No
and
kidding.
Not a child.
You got to row to yourself.
Not wow. a child to be found. I have never been on a flight coming home where there wasn't at least one child, even a well-behaved child, but not, you know, so there were no children. And they just said, just sit wherever you want, you know, just in. You know, I was thinking back to the olden days when you would have had a steak dinner and all that, but you still got your package of pretzels and your, you know, and your drink. But it was, but yeah, there were nowhere near as many people in the airport. Not all that many masks.
Yeah.
Everybody had their hand sanitizer. A lot of people were wearing gloves, but it was pretty easy.
And you weren't nervous or anything. Well, maybe that's a good sign. Watch Kathy, and if she's not nervous, you're going to be okay, okay? If she gets nervous, man, heels and elbows.
She runs, follow her.
Yeah, run as fast as you can. Guys, we're going to continue with this conversation. I have no idea where it's going to go. But listen, we like each other, and we like to talk. So don't go anywhere like Jesus. We're coming back.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
You're listening to Steve Brown, etc., and we're so glad you're here.
You know what I was thinking about is what's unique about this coronavirus event is this is an experience that we are all sharing all across the country, all across the world, but I don't care about those people. All across all across the country, we're all in the same thing. It's almost like, you know, for people in Florida, you know, when there's a hurricane bearing down, we're all in the same kind of mode. But natural disasters are always like a regional kind of thing.
Yeah,
the flooding in the Midwest or the landslides and wherever. It's only those people. We're all in this together. And I was trying to think of something, any kind of comparable event, you know, a tragedy like 9/11 or something rather. But even that is more like, here's a horrible thing that happened on a day, and we're sharing the mourning process. But this is like, you know, we're all kind of figuring this out together. It kind of creates some interesting common ground that we didn't expect.
It does. And there's still the idiots, both the right and the left, who want to make money on keeping us divided and angry and at each other. But, you know, the political stuff has been dampened somewhat. You find that Congress is voting together to accomplish something with these bills that have to do with health during the virus pandemic. And that's a good thing. And, you know, 9/11 was, in that sense, it really was a shared experience by everybody and every place and every time. And that lasted for almost a year, and it was a cool and good thing.
Yeah. You know, as we're talking about this, I think of, like, what I hear about, like, World War II, where, guys, we're not using this stuff anymore, or we're doing a paper drive, or whatever it was. It was, there was a kind of a collective kind of effort where we're all in it together as Americans, regardless of, you know, race or creed or political party.
And that's a good thing. That's a part of the gift that it provides. You said you talked about your pastor in Maine, your pastor when you're there.
I watched the, you know, everybody's doing everything online. You know, what on earth? Yeah, you know, I couldn't help but think, what on earth would we have done, you know, 25 or 30 years ago, which is not that long ago, when there was no such thing as online and, you know, church was shut down and, you know, everybody, they're all the churches are doing something online. You can give online. You can go to the text. You can, you know, all this kind of stuff. You couldn't do that back then. So, I mean, you either walked in the door and put your envelope in, you know, in the plate. Some churches are not passing plates anymore. They're just putting them in the back of the church. So you put them there, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, this friend of ours, Roger Cousineau at East Auburn Baptist Church, in Auburn, Maine, his message on Sunday was, God's got this. And I mean, very simple, you know, take a deep breath, relax, do what you need to do, but God's got this. You know, this was not a surprise. He's got it. You know?
And when you say this, it's not corona, it's not the coronavirus. Okay.
Everything. That's not what it is. And he spread it out. You know, he said it's, you know, and that was his point. You know, God's got this,
right,
obviously, because this is what we're all dealing with. But some of you are dealing with stuff that's even more significant than a virus, you know, and he's got that too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was kind of cool.
You know, it has been interesting. As churches and synagogues and mosques close down, and they really have everywhere, I don't think I've ever been so proud of pastors in America as I've been during this. I've been pretty critical of the kinds of things you've been talking about. You know, that everything's online. You can't do church online. Church has people. You got to be face to face and feel the flesh, or it's not real church. It's just a show. And I repent of that. This has been real church. I couldn't get, for some technical reason, and I couldn't reach John Myers, who knows everything about technical stuff, on how to do it. So I couldn't go to our church, Willow Creek. I went to Northland, where I'm on the teaching staff there, and watched their service, and it was absolutely amazing. And Matt, the pastor there, said, we're going to have communion this morning. I said, no, you're not. You can't do communion on an online, but they did. He said, if you are in your home and you have bread and some kind of liquid, it'll suffice. And he preached a sermon, pretty much, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and self-control and et cetera. And it was a good sermon. But then he said, we're going to have communion, and he prepared it for their worship team. Now, Northland's so big that their worship team is bigger than any church I ever served as a pastor. So there are a bunch of them. But and they are very well equipped technologically. A lot of cameras, a lot of graphics, a lot of stuff. So they were able to do things like that. But then he knelt in front of every one of the worship people and served them communion as people were taking communion in their own house. And I felt kind of like a Calvinist who just saw a member of the non-elect being led to Christ. I mean, I thought, you know, this works. This is God. And I really did worship. So, you know, it could be worse. You could not have the internet. Or a pastor like me who says it'll be cold in a hot place before I do this internet thing. But that hasn't happened. God's people kind of rose up and did a really good thing. We're going to continue this discussion when we come back. Hope you do too. grew up in the mountains where there were lots of fireflies. I'd catch them and put them in a jar. Problem was, the next morning, they'd be dead. Jesus said to the religious people of his day that they would travel land and sea to get one convert, then make him worse than he was before. We do that sometimes. We put new Christians in a jar of rules and regulations, and their light grows dimmer and dimmer, and then they die. Christians, like fireflies, need to be free. Don't forget about God's unconditional love and forgiveness, and your light will shine. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Hey, share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. We're talking about COVID-19, and we're trying to...
Matthew, I have the hand sanitizer here. Do you need me to pass that down?
Yeah, pass it along. It's not that bad once you get used to the taste.
You know, this has been kind of a fun program. And you know what's been fun, too? You know what I miss about living in the north? You know, we're in Florida, for those of you
There's
who are living in other places.
There.
Yeah,
that
there is.
Not
you know,
true.
Is it the kind?
Yeah,
I want a
you.
White Christmas. I'm going to the beach.
And I'm with you. But, you know, I didn't, the first year, I thought I defended God by coming to my, if you move from Boston to Miami, there is no greater culture shock. And I thought God was disciplining me, and I would kneel down by the couch in my study every day and say, God, I'll be good. I promise, if you'll just get me out of this place. And then I kind of thought, what's wrong with you? It's warm. And they're freezing to death in Boston. You don't have to drive on ice or snow. And I'm an old lady in ice and snow. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that causes problems by getting over in the side and going really, really slow. And then I kind of fell in love with Florida, and I kind of like it. But there's some things. I miss the change of seasons sometimes. I miss the fall with the pretty leaves and all that kind of stuff. I miss snow when you're inside and you're watching it from your window. I miss sleighing on occasion. That's fun. But the thing I really miss is snow days. As you know, I'm driven by guilt. You know, when I don't do stuff that I'm supposed to do, man, that keeps me awake. That's why I teach grace so much, is because I'm just driven by guilt, the gift that keeps on giving. But on snow days, the thing that was really cool when I was growing up, you didn't have to go to school. You didn't have to go to work. And then when you got to be adult, you didn't have to go to the church. And you didn't have to write a sermon. And you didn't have to go visit all the people that you promised you would visit or do all the things that you said. And you didn't have to feel guilty about it. But more important than that, you discover what was really important and what wasn't. You know, we take our lives, and that's what John Eldridge's book was about, and we fill it. We fill it. And if we're sitting around, don't have anything to do, we fill that with something, and then we try to invest meaning and purpose into that. And that doesn't work. There's no meaning and purpose in most of what we do. It's just what we do until we die and we go home. And so yesterday I worked at home, and I woke up thinking, you know, I have to feel guilty about this. George told me to stay at home. He said, I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about your wife and the germs you're going to bring home to her. So I stayed at home and I worked. And I loved it because I didn't feel guilty about it. I was just doing something that wasn't important.
And it wasn't cold.
And it was, and again, it wasn't cold. So I didn't have to worry about tomorrow getting out in the snow.
I'm sorry, but I have to go back about 2 minutes into this little thing that you just said. Why did you liken yourself to an old woman driving in the snow?
Well, you didn't used to offend you when I said that.
Why did you liken yourself to an old woman driving in the snow?
Well, because old women do that.
Excuse me?
We're nowhere near a break either.
Awesome. You got 3 minutes and 40 ready? Seconds to get yourself okay. out of this one, Jack.
Okay, I just repent. Old men.
Okay.
Now, I made them mad, too. You just can't. But old people drive very slow in snow.
Okay, I don't have
and
a problem
I did
with that.
When, I did that when I was young.
Old people.
But most of them.
Careful.
I ain't going there.
No, I think
I'm
that's very wise. Very wise.
But snow days without snow are a good thing.
And, some of them drive down here like they're driving in snow.
Old women.
Just old
no.
people.
No. He wouldn't say that.
No. Because I know that glass isn't very thick.
Well, Steve, you and I have talked about the joy of canceled plans, you know, yeah, when you're supposed yeah. to do something. So it's, you know, I've never done heroin, but, you know, it's got to be the closest thing to where, you know, the missus and I have to go do something with somebody and they're like, oh, you know what? They called and cancels. And we're like, oh, that's great.
It really is.
I don't have to. That's wonderful. So like. One of the silver lining, one of the little upsides of the last week's events with coronavirus is like, oh, you want to do that? Now that's canceled. That's it's all canceled. So you're like, oh, I get to work towards my longtime career goal of being a hermit.
Well, it's already Tuesday. Are you really dumping the kids with?
They're gone.
Oh, they are.
They got dumped last night.
Monday night. So
we drove
slow down
to my parents. 30
I thought
minutes.
You were kidding.
No way. No way.
How could you do that?
He told me a long time ago that's what they were going to do, but I didn't know whether they would do it
with
all this.
Well, the idea was that we would also be like a Costa Rica or something or other, yeah. So that's got scrapped. No, they're I'd say their grandmother, great-grandmother, my grandmother, is in town from Northwest Florida. So that was the plan. So, like, if you guys are still cool for this, taking this little, you know, Lord of the Flies tribe, then we're fine with it. We're just going to be at home, not going out. This would be great. So,
well, good
God,
for you.
God gives that's and God good. Takes away.
You know, my family's not that way. They were going to all be here. The granddaughters who are kind of grown up now, and they were all going to come here because everything had been canceled. The university where they're going to school and the things that they were going to do. So we're all going to get, and then they canceled because of the virus. And because, I might say, Disney World is closed.
That's why.
Exactly.
That's the real reason.
Oh, I wasn't scared until I saw that.
I thought they came here for us. I didn't know it was just
Boy,
Disney.
Boy, have you been operating under delusion for 20 years.
But even that has an upside. I don't have to go to Disney World.
No, you
and
don't.
That place drives me nuts. They could keep it closed.
No.
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 Not
a bunch
here.
Of tourist tax dollars.
Right.
Please.
Did you notice that the beaches are packed?
Mm-hmm.
They were showing pictures last night that evidently people are not buying into all of this. And you can keep at least 6 inch, maybe even 6 feet distance from the next person on a towel. And so people are going to the beach, and we're having wonderful weather here, and you wonder, why not waste it?
They were talking, though, I did hear again last night on the news talking about the fact that there's consideration given to closing the beaches.
Mm.
So
I think it's all, and I think economically, you know, we're trying to make this a little bit less of a burden by talking about it this way. But economically, we're in some pretty deep water right now, and it wouldn't hurt if you went to the God who was in charge of the deep water and told him, you know, I got to eat and stuff.
Florida's in trouble.
Nice, and Florida's in trouble. So and if you're in New York, the stock market's not a big deal right now either. So, you know, you could do something if you really loved us. I mean, if you really loved us, you wouldn't have sent this virus. If you really loved me, I would have hair. Guys, we're going to come back and tell you who's not going to show next week.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
We found out about 5 minutes before this program went on the air, for those who are listening on the radio, that John Eldredge was forced to cancel and that we're going to reschedule him to talk about his book. And you, and all of a sudden, we're sitting here and we think, you know, how are we going to do this? What are we going to talk about? And then I said to Matthew, well, we did this. And he said, that's kind of like this virus. We're going to get through this. And just sitting around and talking about it, nothing was said that was profound in this hour. But it's happening all over America, a conversation just like the one we just had for the past hour, with people sitting around talking about it. And it's going to be okay. We thought we would demonstrate that to you, and we have. Don't thank us. We're glad to help. Who's going to be on next week? Or who's not going to show next week?
Who's not going to show next week? Actually, our friend Chuck DeGroat will be back with us.
Out of quarantine.
When we talked with him the last time he was with us, he was just finishing up the manuscript for this book that's now out, which is titled When Narcissism Comes to Church, Healing Your Community from Emotional and Spiritual Abuse. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really will.
I mean, fun in the sense
where
that...
Where does he teach now?
He's at up there...
He's not in California anymore.
No. He's at Midwestern or... Why'd you ask me that? I have to take my glasses off.
Pop quiz. Never mind.
Maybe he won't show
up. Is that where you're
teaching? I'm right. Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan.
Oh.
Narcissism. You mean there's narcissism in the church?
Not right now, because they're all empty.
Right. Yeah,
nobody in the church
that
at all.
Can play with your ego.
But, you know, the church is the body. There is.
That was the statement that was going around at the seminary, that they give a pastor a microphone, amplify his voice, put him 6 feet above everybody else, shine a spotlight on him, and then they tell him to be humble. And that was a pretty brilliant statement. But today... they shine a spotlight on you, put you 6 feet above empty chairs, and you got to preach a sermon with nobody there.
To a camera.
Shoot, you'll be better for it. It could fix narcissism forever. Well, with that profound thought, we finally did it, and we're out of here. We'll sanitize the studio for next week. Same time, same place. Hope you join us. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. And that gives you a wide, wide berth.